Paul is continuing his letter to the Thessalonians here. And he's very direct, very clear in regard to sexual morality. And preaching in that culture would be a lot like preaching in ours. People have no idea. You know, it's been stolen from them. The wonder and beauty of the love between a man and a wife and their relationships to one another. They have no idea, like us today. I mean, it's so hard. So Paul has to preach a lot to get them to get the picture, you see. For this is the will of God. They translate it now, your holiness or your sanctification. God wants you to be holy. Why? Because he's the dean of discipline? No. Because holiness means you're close to him. Your life is saturated with his life. So that when you die, you're going to go see him. And that's the will of the Lord. That's the mind of the Lord. And so, your holiness, your sanctification. And then he goes on to describe that, you see. God did not call us to impurity, but to holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not a human being, but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. That's, you see, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. When we consider what's being foisted off on our citizens, and particularly on our young, whose plot is that? That's Satan, to totally destroy the youth so that they have no vision of what life is all about, how great God is, how what he wants to do for them, give them a life that's meaningful in relation to him, and then spend eternity with him. And so Paul addresses that very clearly there. And we have to do the same. Now, the parable is also about a wedding. This is, once again, we're in Matthew 25. It's all about be alert, be awake. And we're seeing that over and over again in these instructions and parables. You probably heard all this before, but if you didn't, I'll go quickly. Marriage there was settled between parents, right? Though the bridegroom had something to say about it. Then they were engaged, like Joseph and Mary, but they weren't living together. The last minute financial arrangements, the size of the dowry and all that sort of thing, are done the late afternoon before the wedding party. That's all there is. They don't have a mass, of course. This is a Jewish wedding. But I mean, so what's going on here is that the bridegroom and the father of the bride are having difficulty coming to some satisfactory financial agreement here. So they're taking their time with that. Finally, it happens. So now he's going to come to claim his bride and go off to his house, and there'll be a party. And it'll last all night. And that's, even today, I've been to these parties among the Palestinians. They last for days. And everybody's singing and dancing. Not our kind of dance. They dance like, you ever see that movie Zorba the Greek? You know, everybody lines up, and they all dance, and then the first one has go around there. It's a lot of fun. Anyhow, so they've been arguing, and now he comes. And those who were ready went in, and those who weren't didn't get in. Now, this is one of many parables that we've been having in this area of being alert. Who are you? What are you doing on this globe? What are you supposed to be doing on this globe? Where's your mind? Where's your head? What are you thinking about? What are your goals? be alert. Because at a time you might not expect it, you're going to meet the Lord. And so be ready. And that's the... Now, the gospel writers, particularly Matthew, have gathered a lot of these sayings. We're now, as you suggested, we're in chapter 25. Tomorrow, we're going to have another one about a man going on a journey, and he gives his servants their... and then I think then we'll get the next one. Yes, you see. But we'll end with Matthew and start Luke. But the call, and is given to us as we start now, to move toward the end of the liturgical year. Because the liturgical year is meant to be for us a parable of the world. The church, as I've said 100 times, the church is not in time. Time is in the church. When we declare that this is the day we're going to observe the resurrection, the graces of the resurrection are poured out on the world. Our time. We measure it by the cosmos. But time is in the church. So now, as we're getting toward the end of Matthew and starting to think, you know, we'll have fall for a while, then we'll have Advent, and what do you know, we start again. It is to keep us alert. Alert. And so we have these parables. So what does it mean to stay alert? It means the old spirituality, I mean, 4th, 5th, 6th century, you know, always talk about the alertness of the heart. You know, when Joseph Ratzinger was made Pope, one of his first assistant, actually, is a friend of mine, Gus de Noia, who's now a bishop over there. Well, they asked Gus, how would you characterize Ratzinger, the new Pope? And he said something so interesting. He said, he's always recollected. See, he gets the parable. He's alert. He's not, you know, he's aware. He has the memory of God. You have to cultivate that. It doesn't come just, well, what can you do? Well, be sure you're praying. And then avoid silly distractions. I always give this example, but the radio in the car, what the heck do you need that for? Except to find out the traffic patterns. I mean, like, if you turned it off, you could pray. And then you would guard the memory of God. Saint Benedict, when he's going through that, remember we did it on his feast day, the steps of humility. And the first step is oblivionem omnino fugiat. Stay away from all forgetfulness. That's the first degree of humility. Be aware of who you are, where you're going, what God wants of you, that God is present to you. You know? Oblivionem. We get oblivion from that, you see. Forget all. You know, oblivionem, I mean, you know, get away from all oblivion. You're not just walking around like a cat or a dog, you know. You're the image of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. So cultivate an awareness. And when you think, Joseph Ratzinger had a pretty demanding job fighting with all the heretics all the time. And when they ask Gus, what would you care? He didn't say he's a great intellectual, which he is. And he's courageous. He'll call a spade, you know. He said he's always recollected. So that's how you understand this parable. Be ready. Have your lamp trimmed. Be awake. Cultivate the memory of God. and God will be with you to guide you. And because of that, he will be present to you. And that is very important when you're out in the grocery store or someplace. And all of a sudden, you know you're supposed to talk to somebody. And you know that. It could be the changing of a life. Just a few words. And talk about the Lord for a moment if it seems to be apt. And you could change a life. Oblivionem omnino fugiat. Flee all forgetfulness.